Hey guys, another episode of Unfriendly Blur Talk. So I'm gonna go on a very, very quick rant. I recorded my reaction to the season finale of The Bachelor yesterday, and I didn't save it, and it got deleted, and I'm really upset because it was a really good episode. But I just figured I'd tell you guys that because it's never going to air, unfortunately. But on an entirely different note, I want to talk about a very unpopular opinion. So I love YouTube. I stay on YouTube. I watch a lot of YouTube. I watch documentaries a lot. That's like my favorite thing on YouTube. And sometimes I watch true crime stuff, which also is kind of like a documentary. But that's kind of like where I'm at. I don't really watch cable. I don't even have cable, actually. But I stumbled across this YouTube channel called Soft White Underbelly maybe a couple months ago, and I'm hooked. So the guy that owns this channel is actually a photographer, and I guess he just stumbled across, what is it called? That famous street in LA where there's all the homeless people. Skid Row. He stumbled across Skid Row, like, on his photography journey, and he's like, these people seem interesting. And he started interviewing them. And these people are just so raw in the interview. He barely asks any questions, really. And that's very telling. He'll just say, you know, tell me about yourself. And immediately they'll just open up and be like, well, you know, I grew up this way. This happened to me. I had this trauma. You know, they'll open up about their entire life within a matter of like 30 seconds or so. And I think that's really telling because it's almost like these people just want someone to listen and hear them, you know? But I guess where my unpopular opinion comes in is that I think that a lot of addicts are really emotionally intelligent. And then I also think the rest of the world is very emotionally unintelligent. It's just, it's been a pattern watching these interviews of, you know, there's been fentanyl addicts, heroin addicts, crack addicts, everything, all kinds of addicts. Alcoholics, everything. And the main thing in common that they have is like a surreal sense of self-awareness. They are very much aware of what they're doing in these interviews and how their actions have affected their life. And it seems to always go back to their childhood and just how they ended up this way. And to be honest with you, a lot of them have a huge amount of accountability, self-accountability, which is really interesting because I think that a misconception that people have about addicts is that they're kind of like, woe is me and, you know, my poor life, I'm going to do drugs and this and that. And to anyone who has never met anyone on drugs or, you know, never really came up under a rock, I guess, they wouldn't particularly understand this. But the thing is, a lot of addicts are, they're really good people. I mean, for instance, I was in New York one time. I live in a city right next to New York. And I go there often. Well, I used to, at least. I don't really go there too much anymore. Just, you know, just focusing on new endeavors. But I went to New York one time, and I ordered food from this place. Me and my friends are in there, and we're waiting outside for our food because the place is packed. It's, you know, after the bar closed, everyone wants their food. So we're waiting outside. And this woman's just, like, sitting down on the curb, and she's talking to herself. Now, my friends think I'm crazy for this, but I was genuinely interested in this woman because she didn't seem crazy to me. I can definitely tell that she was on drugs, but she seemed like a really nice person. And I definitely have a really good, like, inkling when I can tell someone's a good person, a bad person. I can read people's body language very well. I just, you know, I'm really good at that kind of thing. So something just possessed me to just sit next to her. So I sat next to her and I was like, hey, how are you tonight? And she just was like, girl, you're so pretty. You're so pretty. Don't ever do drugs. Don't ever do drugs. And I was like, okay, thank you. You know, I just was being nice to her. And just for that, me sitting next to her and not treating her. Oh my God. Sorry, guys. Yeah, living in a city. This is what I hear all day and night. But anyway, she told me, she's like, I can't believe you're not even treating me like a crackhead. And I'm like, well, you're a person. And she's like, she started crying. She's like, I thank you so much. Like, I haven't even talked to someone that treated me like this in so long. Like, you're so nice and this and that. And I just was like, that's sad, because she's right. People will walk past her and just be like, ugh, a crackhead, or whatever the case is, you know? But these people have lives and they have families. So I'm not going to go into everything, but long story short, we're still waiting for our food. The place is packed. It's super, it's New York City. I mean, we waited like 30 minutes almost. And she's talking to me and she's telling me, you know, I have kids. I got to go find them. I got to get to them. And I was like, well, you know what you have to do, right? And she's like, yeah, I know. I'm going to do it. You know, she was adamant that she wanted to do it. And I wasn't sitting there to coach her throughout life. This woman was an older woman. She probably could have been my mother, age-wise. But I wasn't there to coach her and say, you know, stop doing drugs. That's not what I was there for. I really just wanted her to feel like a human being. And with her opening up in that 20, 30 minutes that I was outside, I wasn't talking to her the whole time, but I talked to her for a good 15 minutes. And she was just saying, you know, I do want to get better, but, you know, there's something about this lifestyle, the freedom. I don't have to worry about, you know, getting a job and keeping my apartment and all the worries like that. I don't have to worry about, but I do have to worry about where my next meal will come from. So it comes with a different set of struggles. So I don't know. I feel like I'll never forget this conversation I had with her, because it was so real and authentic. And it's like, you would expect someone that's quote unquote a crackhead to just be like, yeah, man, like, where's the crack? Like, you know, but she was just so insightful and like wise. And it was really like nice to speak to her. It really was. Because you can learn a lot from people. You can learn from someone who's a doctor. You can learn from someone who's 5 years old. And you can learn from someone who's had a difficult life and has been through a lot of things and has come out wiser from it. You know, you can learn from anything as long as you have that open mindset. So I guess I'm bringing this up because this is kind of the running theme in this guy's YouTube channel. Like, oh my gosh, I've heard some of the saddest stories I've heard in my life on this YouTube channel. And these people, they just talk about it so matter-of-factly because they know that they cannot change it, you know? And yes, it's sad when you think about it as a whole, but when you're watching the person, they're not lamenting about what happened to them. They're speaking facts. They're sitting there like, yeah, you know, we were homeless when I was growing up, so I had to go out and do it. Like, you know, they just say what happened. And a lot of the times, the reason and how they got hooked on drugs was not intentional. Like, you have, like, and I will say this firsthand, because I grew up in a town or a place where a lot of people had everything they ever needed. They had two parents, they had a house, they had, you know, their daddy bought them a car, all this, that, you know, they had everything. And they still ended up doing drugs. And I'm not saying I have less respect for those people, but then you also have to remember those people that did not have everything and that are literally just trying to get by. So if doing a puff of this, this, and that after working 70 hours a week gets you by, then who the hell are we to sit here and be like, you're a loser, you're a loser. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I don't really know exactly how to articulate what I'm trying to say, which is terrible because I'm on a podcast, but it's just the way that society is set up. It's they've got you thinking drug addicts equal bad. You know, gang members equal bad. And yes, people in gangs do terrible, terrible things. But there's levels to that, just like there's levels to anything. There's good politicians out there. There's bad ones. To be honest with you, a lot of gang members and gangs in general were there to protect the community. They're there to protect the community. You know, old lady Jenkins lives in the house down the street. Them gang members are going to protect her. That's really what they're there for, to protect the community for the most part. Yes, they sell drugs. You know, yes, they have rivalries and people come in the crossfires. That's terrible. I am not sticking up for gang members. But what I am saying is that society has everybody thinking that stuff is so black and white. It's not. There are genuinely good people out there that just happen to get caught up in a certain situation. So that's really all I have to say about it. I would really recommend you guys watching an episode of Soft White Underbelly on YouTube and just listening to some of these stories, because it'll really open up your mind if you are somewhat of a closed-minded person. You know what? Before I even let this podcast go, I've got to talk about this. He did an interview with a skinhead. And I don't even know why I watched it, because I'm like, I don't really want to hear his hatred. I don't want to hear it. Come to find out, you know, I'm watching this interview. This guy is, number one, extremely likable. Number two, he's not really a skinhead. He went to prison for something, for some drug-related charges. And in prison, you have to protect yourself by being kind of grouped with other people. So he had to kind of do that to protect himself. And then he gets out and he's got all these tattoos on him. So now society treats him, you know, like, oh, he's a skinhead, which I understand. I mean, if I saw somebody with, you know, crazy tattoos like that, Nazi stuff, whatever, I would definitely walk on the other side of the street. But my point is, you don't even know the story, though, because he doesn't even want that stuff on him anymore. He said they made him get them tattoos in prison to prove his loyalty. He got out and he doesn't want to live like that. He was just trying to get by, you know. And just hearing him talk, you could tell it was genuine. He was saying how he's got friends, all type of different friends. The ones that don't judge him know the truth about how he is and what he does, and that he's a good person. And it was just very sad. So let me know what you guys think. Kind of an extreme subject, but the reason I said it was an unpopular opinion is because people are going to be like, no, drug addicts and gang members and this and that, they're bad people. It's, you know, get over yourself. But yeah, I'm going to post a question on here and see how you guys feel about everything. So until next time.